How'd Bonorama come together?
You know, Craig Klein and I used to play in Harry Connick Jr.'s band, started doing that probably 20 years ago. And, you know, after a while, he started doing more movies, and we found ourselves spending more time at home. And Craig had this idea of putting together a band that would feature a trombone. The trombone always tends to get a bad rap sometimes, you know, tends to be the butt of a lot of jokes. And we said we needed to do something that's going to advance the instrument a little bit and make people take some notice of what the trombone can really do. And being from New Orleans and the background that we had, you know, here in New Orleans, it was obvious we were going to have some sort of New Orleans influence in it. But we started bringing in rock songs, and it became something else, and it opened our minds to realize that this could be the kind of a band that could speak almost any kind of music that we wanted it to through the voice of the trombone. We started about 12 years ago, and that's when we first put it together. It's just kind of been morphing along ever since, constantly in flux, lineup always changing, you know. It's a lot of bands look at that as a negative, but we've sort of found a way to, or we're trying to find a way to make it work to our advantage, and a lot of times I think we've done that.
What do you look for in a cover song?
A lot of times I do a lot of the arranging. We all do writing. I'll hear something on the radio, or I'll be familiar with the tune, that it just strikes me a certain way that it's going to transfer to the trombone favorably. There's some songs that do, and there's some songs that don't. And the ones that do, we tend to not have such an innovative arrangement with them. Like Frankenstein was one of the first, that was probably the first like rock cover song that we started doing. And we didn't really do anything too crazy with the arrangement, but the fact that those sounds were coming out through the trombone, the sonority of that line, of that riff that's throughout the whole tune, you know, the sonority that lends itself to the trombone, it's this real low, grovelly little lick that just sounds really good when multiple trombones are playing. It works. It really works well. But the arrangement, there's really nothing too innovative about it, but there's a little jam section in the middle. There's other songs that, you know, we can kind of open up and dig a little bit deeper into the arrangement. We do when the levee breaks, and that's a little bit different. It's based off of the Zeppelin version, but we do some different things in there, arrangement-wise. But to answer your question, we look for things that transfer to the trombone in a favorable way, and a lot of times it's unison-like riffs. It's like riff-based rock songs seem to really be favorable for finding their home in Bonorama Land, you know.
Did you apply that same sort of idea when you're creating your own songs as a band, riff-based songs? Did it influence how you wrote as a band?
That's a really good question, and I can't say that it's transferred directly to the way we write songs. Funny, the way we pick songs is a certain thing, and then the way we write songs is more of just the way we write songs, and it's not necessarily influenced by the same elements that we find when we're looking for good covers to pick, if you know what I mean. So it's a really good question, but I think the answer is not necessarily. It doesn't. Those are two kind of separate things, you know. Finding elements to pick a good cover song is one thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean we, you know, we have those elements in our writing, or that we haven't been influenced by them too much. Now, I'm just by nature being a fan of that kind of music, I think it probably creeps in inevitably with some of your writing, and I think that's great. I always wish I was better at writing riff-based songs, though. A lot of my songs are a little slightly more complicated maybe than they need to be, or just a little bit quirkier than they need to be in my mind. And as I get older and more mature, and as I aspire to try to be a better songwriter, I'm not trying to dumb anything down, but I just know what I like when I listen to stuff, and I still don't think I've gotten there as a songwriter yet, you know, as far as just really being able to crank out a nice riff-based, sensible, together song. You know, I'm still waiting for that. I'm still waiting for that song.
Trying to find a way to, like, stream down your technique, right? You're writing...
Exactly. That technique, or the thought that you have to do something extra special in every single thing that you do, it does. Sometimes that can get in your way. And some of the best moments are when you have that under your belt, that's great. But some of your best moments are when you sort of forget about it subconsciously for a little while. You know, when you put that out of your conscious mind and you put it a little bit more to the back of the subconscious mind, I guess I should say, that's a better way to say it. Stuff becomes a little more natural. And that stuff's back there still, and it comes out in different ways, but you're not forcing it out.
How old were you when you first started playing trombone?
I was 8 years old. I started playing like in fourth grade, I guess. And like a lot of us, I guess, we played in school when we were little, and as we got older, we kept playing in high school, you know, or in a high school band, and before you know it, it's time to go to college, and I'm like, man, I don't know what I want to do. I want to play trombone. That's what I want to do. So I've been real fortunate. I think we all look at ourselves as very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to play music for a living, especially this day and age. There's no question that it's not getting any easier to be a musician in today's world.
No, definitely not.
Especially in today's American culture. Nothing against our country. I'm just, it's just the way it is. It's just like the pop culture. It likes a lot of different things than, you know, than your average trombone player on a corner.
You guys have been able to find an audience outside. outside of NOLA by touring a ton and just by rocking really hard.
That's a big compliment. That's the approach we've taken, and we think that if first of all, if stuff was easy, as Jimmy Robinson and Twanger Rama says, if playing music was easy, everybody would be doing it. So, I mean, we've taken the approach of understanding that, you know, it's going to be hard and challenging, but we have to keep staying out there as much as we can. We have to keep hitting people, and sure enough, you know, you can go back another time, you keep going back to these places, mm-hmm. and, you know, you start finding that more and more people are latching on to this stuff. If they don't, you better take a look at what you're doing and figure it out. But we've been seeing success, you know, in doing that, and just going back and keep going back to visit these places. And the other element is that we think just being as true as possible to the music that we want to be doing is huge. It's just the kind of thing that people pick up on, and people can tell when you're trying to be fake or when you're really trying to be for real. And we've always tried to be for real, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're playing and where we are, no matter if there's two people out there or 8,000. To us, it's the same thing. We're putting on the best show that we possibly can at that moment, and that's about all you can do. People take notice of that. They know when it's happening. That's what we try to give them every night.
In New Orleans, you have to bring the heat, or, like, you're not going to be playing.
Totally.
And, like, if you suck, you're gone.
You know, New Orleans, you know, you look at how big the city is, you know, across as far as rank, population rank across the country, you know, it's not like, not a major, major city, but per capita or however many people play music here, you know, it's just astonishing how many musicians have come out of this incredible town, and it's what a great place to grow up. But like you said, yeah, if it ain't happening, you know, it's going to be pretty obvious to a lot of people in this town, especially really quick, and we'll have no business. I shouldn't say it like that, but I mean, it's just too hard. I mean, there's too many great people around here, and that's done nothing but just helped us all, I think, try to become better and be better musicians and try to be a better band. And that's what it does to the music. It's great. It's great. You can't get that anywhere else in the world.
It's almost like the supportive pressure. The New Orleans community wants to see people succeed, but you better be good.
That's exactly right.
You guys record a ton of live albums all the time. Do you approach a live album recording differently than you would if you were just playing a normal gig, or do you just go in there with the same kind of mindset?
Pretty much the same kind of mindset. I mean, we try to, maybe if anything, have a little bit better idea of what songs are going to be on the set list. But yeah, I mean, we have kind of an idea of what we want to do, what we want to record, and we might do like multiple nights, so we'll try to get, you know, like the best take possible or something. But we don't like to re-record anything after we've done those live records. And sometimes, I mean, so many live records in all of our collection that have overdubs in them. That's fine, but that's just not what we wanted to do. We wanted it to really be what happened that night as much as possible, you know, without having to re-record anything. With that in mind, yeah, we'll do maybe multiple nights. I think each time we record, we've recorded multiple nights and just kind of picked the best stuff from both nights, you know, to make it into one record. But I tell you, we've been having fun in the studio. The last thing that we released is the EP, Hard Time, and that was our studio debut, if you will. It was fun going in there. We had been in the studio with OK Go and with some other people as a band, you know, to do our own project, though. That was our first opportunity to do that. We're in the middle of another one right now, a full-length CD right now that we're getting pretty close on finishing here. And it's fun because you can really take your time, really focus on sonically getting everything as happening as possible. You have more time, more opportunity for that. And it's really fun to see the trombone, the multiple trombones in a studio, you know, reach a higher potential than what we would do on some of the live records. So that's pretty exciting for us.
Doesn't it just create this, like, wall of sound?
You can. You can definitely see that. Like, on Levy Breaks, we did a little bit of that. You know, we expanded a little bit more with just, I mean, innovative or anything, but just, you know, just some layering and processing on different layers to just to add some depth and just spend a little bit more time on production and post-production than we would have on a live record. And just to get sounds as happening as possible, make the thing, just to really make it sound big, good, and natural, really good, natural sound out of everything, was something that the band hadn't really done before in the studio. And we've been recording with live records, we'd record everything as good as we could. And, you know, we'd spend some time in post-production trying to make it sound as good as we can, but nothing like really starting from day one, getting the right sounds, really taking our time on it instead of trying to rush through it on a gig. You know, it's pretty cool. The new record's shaped out really, really nice. We're all very excited about it.
How do you feel your sound as a band has grown over the years when you guys first started out?
Yeah, wow, that's a good question. I think it's expanded quite a bit, you know, that's what we're hoping. We're hoping that we're getting better as original writers and songwriters, and people always still enjoy playing covers and picking those right songs to play and try to see how far we can go with that. But just the circle of genre classification, if you will, and we hope that that's getting larger, broadening out a bit. We might not really know, being that we're so close to everything that we do, you know, you can't really see what you're doing sometimes.
lot more rock stuff, it seems like. But at the same time, I mean, you look at any of our set lists and any of our records, I mean, we might have a Zeppelin song or an original rock song stacked right up against the Allen Two Saints song or, you know, for a Craig Klein original New Orleans type of song. So, I mean, it's got one foot in New Orleans and one foot constantly searching somewhere else, too.
You guys try to so many different sounds, but I mean, do it with your own spin on things. You know, you never just do it straight up. You think it has your sound to it.
Well, I appreciate that. We don't always try to do that, but I guess that's the product of just, you know, having the band together for so long, even though it's got a lot of different people in it from when we started. But just the fact that the band is, as a band, is still, you know, still going, it's still continuing. There is some sort of a stamp, I guess, on the sound that we'd like to think that's the case, you know, after all these years, but still sound like Bone Around somehow. It's kind of like Bone Around.
Right. When you're using different players, what do you look for in the players? What do you want in a player?
Someone good.
That's essential.
a good player. No, I mean, we want somebody that's easy to be around for 22 hours of the day.
Right.
No, I'm sure you're not both of those stuff. I mean, those are both good things. But really, the music has to be happening. You know, the music has to be, it's got to feel right. It's got to be a good player. And we've been pretty lucky. I mean, everybody we bring through the group, they bring something unique and something special in their own way that makes us play different and better. And it's so hard to compare all the different people that we brought through and say, who's the best drummer or who's the best bass player, you know, or because there's something really cool with literally everybody that's come through. That's really awesome. We've had Terrence Higgins from the Dirty Dozen Brass Band out with us quite a bit. And you know, Eric Bolivar has been playing drums with us for the last several years, but lately he's been doing a lot of different things. So, you know, Terrence has been coming out. He's been using a lot of different other people, but it's just a different experience no matter who's back there. And it's really, really, really great. This past weekend we went to Chicago. We had a bass player for the first time named Michael Weig. He's from Texas. He lives in New York. He has a incredible band called Snarky Puppy. Never rehearsed with them. It just set up some music. And he sat in with us once in New York about a month ago. But other than that, never really played with him. And he came in and just sounded so good. And on the second night, I mean, he was definitely influenced in the way the band sounded and affecting the way everybody played in such a good way. And, yeah, it'd be nice to have the same lineup every night, but we don't. And so it's kind of a good problem to have because, man, it's really, really happening right now. And it's really, really fun. So that's kind of a cool thing. It's a breath of fresh air. It's still Bone Around. Still sound. It's still the same songs. And in this day and age, you have six or seven people in a band, and you're trying to do as many bases we're trying to do without saying no to them just because somebody can't make them. Then a flexible lineup's day one will never be like the Radiators. They had the same band for 30 years. It's absolutely incredible.
Right.
It's unbelievable. That's super cool, but that's just not our path. It's not the way it was meant to be. So find out how to, you know, we're figuring out how to make it work hard and manage it. It's been fun.
What have been some of your favorite places you can play outside of NOLA?
Man, we love playing in New York because it's like such an honor. You know, you're in New York City and you're playing in New York City with your band, and it still doesn't get old or tiring or anything. It's still exciting. Every time we drive into New York, as we're approaching into New York, you know, in the van, we're like, man, this is cool. It's very exciting. So New York is fun, and you know, it's like New Orleans, you got to have your A game on totally. You have to totally have your best show. Not that you don't when you go to other cities, but there's something about play at home in New Orleans, feel that way, and then we play in New York. You definitely feel that way. But after the next night, you know, we'll go to Providence, Rhode Island, and I know we all still feel that way. We're still saying, well, I know it's Providence, but people there are going to be paying to see us, and like, by the time we get on the stage, we're down. We're ready. Okay, yeah, man, let's go. Do it. So it's trying to bring the A game on every single night. But yeah, New York is fun to play. West Coast is fun, especially, I mean, you know, like San Francisco. We've had some good shows in San Diego. We might play in Chicago, too. But yeah, I tell you, it's hard to pin down just a few areas because we've had some really, really good times about everywhere. We've all played in a lot of different bands, and I think we all recognize that there's something special about this. Even if there's not the best crowd out there on a given night, let's say, and there's still whoever was out there, being in other bands, we've seen what it can be, and I don't know, we just feel that people walk away from these shows with something a little bit different than they would on other shows. That's something to be proud of. We did this residency last month in the Northeast where we would play throughout November. We'd play every Friday in New York, and we'd play every Saturday in Philly, and we'd play every Thursday in Boston for the whole month of November. It was really cool because you go back every week to these same venues, same cities. Totally different show every time we go back, and that was fun. You know, we had different guests with us every week, every time we go back, and we'd have a totally different set list every week, and that was a lot of fun. And I think people that follow the band, appreciate that.
It's like that's going to keep people coming back, because that spontaneous thing makes you want to come out.
It makes you want to come out. We want our sound to be recognizable, but we also want part of the stamp of our band to be the fact that people shouldn't know what they're going to hear when they come out. They, you know, people, you're going to go to a Bonorama show, you shouldn't know what you're going to hear.
Right.
It could be a lot of different things. And that's a really great compliment when we do hear that at the end. Man, it's totally different than last time. I can't believe all those different songs you guys were pulling up.
Mm-hmm.
And to us in-house, the dialogue is just the opposite. We're always talking to ourselves, saying, man, we need more songs. That's good. You know, that's healthy. That's healthy. It keeps us going, keeps us pushing, trying to get that song list even deeper and even, even bigger.
How often do you add new songs?
Oh, throughout, you know, a trip, we'll add songs maybe almost every day. Something new might show up every couple days, every other day. I don't know. It's irregular. Then we'll be home for a while. We might not have any new songs on the list for a little while. And then all of a sudden, you know, two or three will pop up. So it's nothing steady or too regular. But, you know, I think when we're out there rolling, sometimes out of boredom, you know, new songs will start to show up a little bit. A couple months will go by, you look at the song list, you're like, wow, it's a smaller font on the song. You gotta squeeze them all in. That's a good problem to have.
When you're not touring, what's your favorite actor to see in NOLA?
I did the interview for Relatives, and they asked the same thing, and I'm like, we're home. Unfortunately, I don't really get out that much. I wound up staying home, resting, catching up before we go out for the next trip. I have family. I have two boys. Folks, you know, trying to do family stuff. Spend as much time with them as possible when I'm home.
Yeah.
When I do go out, I love going to see George Porter. Just about anybody that I like to go see, I wound up resisting the urge to go up on the stage and play with them.
Yeah.
The Radiators, you know, would just love to go see the Radiators, but it's too hard not to play with them.
You're so tempted to want to get up there, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
I can't believe it's finally stopping, man, after all these years.
That's so
sad.
It's sad, but, you know, I mean, the way I tell everybody, I mean, I think it's, in a way, we're so lucky that they were around for this long. You know,
right.
I mean, it's really amazing that we've had them this long. And testament to any band out there that's trying to do what we're all trying to do, to be able to go on with that longevity with that lineup, you know,
right.
That's just amazing. And they did it, and they've been doing it. So, man, I think it's great. And you know, I guess there's a big question mark as to what's happening next, you know, as far as
the project.
Whether they're going to actually stay together or whatever. But in any case, what they've got is just tremendous, and it's just always going to be one of those bands that was so much fun to play with, so much fun to listen to.
They really did have their own sound.
Yeah.
Their shows were insane, you know.
Yeah. One of the most unique relationships between the band, Dave, and the audience that I've ever seen was, you know, was something else. Special, really special and transparent that they had that I don't see in a lot of other bands, especially a lot of newer bands today.
Mm-hmm.